Welcome to the Willingdon On Mission podcast, a place where you can hear stories of how God is working and consider how He might be calling you to engage in His mission. You can find other episodes online at willingdon.org. Now, here's our host, John Best.
Well, welcome everyone to the Willingdon On Mission podcast. Today, I have the opportunity to sit with Craig Palmer. Hey, Craig.
Hello.
My name is John. I'm one of the pastors at Willingdon, and today we have the opportunity to get to know one of our newest missionaries. So, Craig, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Vancouver area. We've been attending Willingdon since about 2018. I grew up in the Vancouver area, but I was a missionary kid for much of my childhood. My parents were missionaries in Russia. And so I became a Christian at a young age and was always pretty heavily involved in church growing up. I met my wife Sophie at church, and she is a speech-language pathologist. We met in 2015 and connected over a shared interest in linguistics, and then got married in 2017. And we love playing board games, going for walks, watching hockey and cooking shows, and spending time with family. We're also blessed with a six-month-old daughter, Nora, who brings lots of joy. And it's been so much fun watching her grow and develop.
Awesome. Here's a question that wasn't on the script. Favorite type of food?
Oh, pasta.
Okay, nice. Good choice. So you serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators. Can you tell us about that organization?
Yeah, so I guess just to quote their mission statement, Wycliffe works to end Bible poverty by facilitating the translation of God's word among minority language communities worldwide. So their core focus is, of course, Bible translation, but they also do work in other areas such as literacy and scripture engagement, helping people engage with the Bible once it's translated, and also capacity building, which is like equipping the local church and community. So when I say minority language, these are languages that are often maybe like between 50,000 to 1 to 2 million speakers, so it's quite a range, but they're languages that often don't have many resources and communities that don't have resources. There's often low literacy rates, maybe low education, and they're maybe not really recognized by the government or whatnot. So these are the communities that Wycliffe likes to target, I guess, because they're ones that don't have the Bible, for example. So, so Wycliffe Canada is just one of many like-minded organizations around the world, obviously aiming to bring God's word to those who don't have it.
So from your perspective, why is the ministry of Bible translation important?
Yeah, so Bible translation it definitely brings the life-transforming word of God into the language that speaks to people's hearts. And so it really helps them understand who Jesus is and what he's done, and kind of makes the gospel feel relevant to them. I remember hearing a story about missionaries who were trying to reach a people group in Central America, but they were just handing out Spanish Bibles. And so the people there asked, if your God is so great, why doesn't he speak our language? And of course we know he does, but to them, Christianity was just like a foreign religion, not something real or relevant to them. So having the Bible in their language, it helped to bring down that barrier. And obviously on a personal level, encountering God through the Bible has been a big part of my journey. And I want everyone to have the opportunity to do the same.
What are some stats that we might find helpful? How many languages are there in the world? How many languages have translations of the Bible? How much more need and opportunity is there?
So this is a good question, because as English speakers, we often kind of take for granted all the Bibles available to us. Yeah. In the world, there are more than 7,300 languages, and only about 10% of them have the complete Bible.
Okay, so those of us who are listening here might just have had our minds blown. There's 7,300 languages in the world. Okay, thank you.
Yes. I think the 10% of them having a complete Bible, that's equivalent actually to 1 in 5 people not having a complete Bible in their language, which blew my mind when I first heard that too.
Yeah.
A lot of those languages, or about 2,700 languages, or 37%, have portions of the Bible, which might include the New Testament. So they may have some, but not the entire thing. But about 50% have no scripture at all.
Wow. So there is significant need and opportunity still.
There's still a lot of languages that, don't have any Bible, or just parts of the Bible. And part of what I'm doing is helping, facilitate bringing the Bible to them.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. You've got a unique, specific role with Wycliffe. Can you tell us about your role? And also, can you tell us a little bit about your journey to get to this place?
Mm-hmm. So I work with this software that has been designed to speed up Bible translation. It's called the Bible Translator's Assistant, or we call it TBTA. It's been designed to speed up. Basically, it helps create a draft and reduce the amount of time and energy the mother tongue translators use to come up with their draft from scratch. So they don't have to do that. The computer does the bulk of the work, and then they can go in and edit it and fine tune it and go through the rest of the process like normal. But it significantly reduces that drafting stage, which through different trials, we've kind of seen that it can take 40% of the time and resources off of a language project.
Wow.
Which, when you consider that a New Testament can often take 10 years or so, that's pretty significant. Mm-hmm. So my specific role is I work with specific languages, and I help analyze their grammar and put their language, grammar, and words into the software so that it can generate its draft. So I work with translators around the world and different teams. For example, I'm working with two languages right now, one in Kenya called Gichuka and one in Southeast Asia as well. So quite different languages.
Yeah.
It's a really fun challenge to help analyze their language, put it into the system, and then watch it help generate scripture.
So you're based here in Greater Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Do you ever need to go to the different places to connect with the language or the translators?
Yeah, that's the plan. Obviously, COVID has made that a little difficult, definitely in the future, like I hope to take a short trip to Kenya sometime this year, maybe. Mm-hmm. Probably just kind of 2 weeks or so to kind of, get connected with the team, build up that relationship even better and have some focus time on the project. There's opportunity there for sure. But not too frequently. So mm-hmm. like you said, I'm based here in Vancouver, really fortunate that I can work from home, especially with a baby at home. And it's a great opportunity.
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you end up in mm-hmm. this role?
So I've always been interested in languages and linguistics. Funnily enough, though, I did my degree in electrical engineering, so something that doesn't seem related at all, but God definitely used. My degree was in electrical engineering, but in that time, I kind of felt God was kind of pushing me to do something different, maybe something more kingdom-focused. And then I heard about Wycliffe and my interest in languages and the Bible. That just seemed like a perfect fit. And I guess my family has a history of Bible translators as well. My grandparents were actually Bible translators in Papua New Guinea as well. And then, as I mentioned, my parents were missionaries, not Bible translators, but missionaries. So missions was always kind of in the back of my mind. God definitely brought Bible translation onto my mind and onto my heart. It took a bit of time before I was able to pursue that. But I guess in 2016, I did an internship with Wycliffe. I was able to kind of visit one of their main projects that they're doing in Cameroon. And that was a really neat experience. To see kind of what is involved in a translation project, all the different things they're doing, and to help out where I could. And yeah, I think God definitely used that experience to confirm that that's the direction he was bringing me to. But when I came back, got married to Sophie, and we fairly quickly found that God wasn't calling us to like go overseas, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, the prototypical role you think of in Bible translation, go overseas, spend a decade or two somewhere.
Right.
But that wasn't what God was calling us to do. So there was the question of, okay, I want to be involved, but how? And so in the meantime, I used my degree in electrical engineering. I got a job and then fairly quickly transitioned to software development. So I was a programmer for a couple of years. And then right at the start of COVID, actually, I heard about this project and this system that Wycliffe was starting to get behind and back, were trying to recruit people to work with, and they needed people with programming skills and linguistic skills. And it was like, and you could work from home. And he was like, that's me.
What a great fit. Yeah.
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 So God definitely opened that door, and I can see his hand and where, how he was leading me to that role. Mm. So it was really exciting.
That really is. So thank you for sharing that journey. And I think it's important for those of us that are listening to realize that God equips us with unique skills and unique experiences. And sometimes he'll really surprise us with the opportunities that he gives us. And also, we shouldn't just have in our brains that, okay, if I'm not an evangelist or a preacher, I can't be involved in missions, mm-hmm. because there are plenty of opportunities, and your journey is one great example of that.
Yeah.
Can you tell us just one or two stories of how encountering the Bible in their own language has impacted someone?
Mm-hmm. So I'll share a story from Cameroon, where I actually did my internship. So there was a man in the Bamunka village. They were showing the Luke film that had been translated into the Bamunka language. And a man named Mr. Patrick, he was kind of around because it was playing near his home, but he had said in the past that he hated the church. But he ended up sitting down and watching the film. He's a palm wine tapper. So normally, apparently he would go and leave and start tapping wine at 4 p.m. But instead, he just kept watching the film. And to the point where his wife was amused and was like, you watched about the things of God today and forgot to tap your wine. And so he thought for a bit and was like, everybody in this house should go to church. Hmm. So it's like hearing the Bible in his own language really changed his perception of the church. Because again, it was like this foreign thing that he didn't want anything to do with, but hearing it in his language. He saw the joy and life that Jesus brings. And so he and his family responded and started attending church.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah. And, I guess another short one, there was a translator in Nigeria who was reading a portion of the Gospel of Luke to a young woman and her daughter in their language, Ndokwa. And as he read it to them, their eyes just lit up. Apparently the woman was familiar with scripture, I guess in a different language, and so had never committed herself to Christ. But so this was the first time she actually heard it in her own language. And it seemed to her that the Bible was coming home to her heart, she said. So after listening, both the woman and her daughter decided to follow Christ. Mm. And so, yeah, they discovered the joy of the Lord for the first time through that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for sharing those. It's wonderful to hear stories of how encountering Scripture has transformed lives. And mm-hmm. I mean, in our Willingdon church family, there are thousands of those stories, right? Mm-hmm. Many of us have encountered Scripture. But it is easy for us to actually take for granted that Scripture is available in our mm-hmm. heart language. So thanks for the ministry that you are engaged in. How can we pray for you and for your family?
So as I mentioned, I'm kind of working with two main languages. So I guess Pray for continued insight into the language as I learn them and good relationships with the translators and teams that I'm working with. In the language in Kenya, I'm going through, starting to go through Ruth now with them, and Exodus in the language in Southeast Asia. So yeah, that's encouraging to see the progress, but just I guess also pray for wisdom and discipline as I juggle my time between those two projects. And also some support raising, and also, of course, having a baby at home. And then I guess pray that God would use the scripture we translate to reach lives and bring them closer to him, because obviously that's the goal.
Yeah.
So that would be amazing to see.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let's close off by praying. Let me pray for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, Lord, thank you so much for the ways that you have gifted and equipped Craig for this particular, unique, specific role. And thank you for Wycliffe as an organization. Thank you that the work that they do does put your word into people's hands. And thank you that your word transforms lives. And so I pray that that would be the case again and again and again, that as people encounter your word, that they would choose to turn to you, and in that turning, that they'd be transformed, and that their lives would be absolutely impacted by encountering you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for these projects that Craig gets to work on in Kenya and in Southeast Asia. I pray for unity on the team. I pray for clarity. I pray for productivity and wisdom as they work together to translate scripture. I pray also for his family. Thank you for Sophie. Thank you for Nora. And I pray that you would provide for them. I pray that you would keep them unified. And I pray that you would make your presence known to them in very tangible ways in these days. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks, Craig. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if anyone wants to get in touch with Craig, get in touch with me, and I'll put you in touch. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. We hope you have been inspired by your time with us today. To learn more about Willingdon's outreach ministries, or to hear more episodes of this podcast, find us online at willingdon.org.